Yes. Yes, that's me. My guitar skills definitely need honing. Alright. Oh, excuse me, guys. I've been real sick and I've still got a bad cough and everything. I got Captain Jim Wills on the chair across from me. Uh-huh. Now, you're going to have to kind of come a little closer to the mic, because just a little bit. You don't have to be right up on it, but you do have to be kind of close to it.
Is that better?
That's better. I can hear you better. All right, let me get rid of this idiot playing guitar. All right. You know, you got to have intro music. You can't just, you know, hi, here we are. I'm trying to be a professional here. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, charter boat captain extraordinaire. I mean, the one thing I know is you got to be itching right now because you're all about the tarpon.
And they are. They came in today, actually. Was tarpon fishing today, and they came up surfacing, and I was pretty excited, and people with me, one of them started to get sick, and I had to go inshore and fish with shrimp on the sidelines while I was watching them. They were 40 foot thick when I left.
40 feet thick?
Yes, they were stacked in as good as I've seen them this year.
So, okay, explain this now, because people are listening, and you just said the tarpon were 40 feet thick. Now, you're talking about in Boca Grande Pass.
I'm talking about right in the pass. When you go in there and you're in the 70-foot hole, and you're getting a false reading of 30-foot. And the fish are so thick that the machine's picking it up as the bottom. So there's a lot of fish in there right now.
So that takes tens of thousands of tarpon. Thousands of tarpon.
Lots of tarpon to do that.
Yeah, when it confuses the bottom machine as to this is the dirt, this is earth, and it's not. It's just stacked full of fish.
Yep. And I've been getting calls from as far as Ocala. People telling me they were in there today, so the word is out.
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be out. Now, let's talk about the name of your charter boat business.
It's Beach and Backcountry Charters. My website's MrTarpon.com.
Well, we're going to find a picture of you, and we're going to link right to your website. So all you're going to have to do is the picture right next to this radio fishing clip. As always, we'll link right to Jimmy's website. And we've been friends, what, about 30 years now?
Long time.
Yeah, 25, 30 years.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's been
a long time. I was just looking. I said, geez, his mustache isn't as gray as mine. I mean, you're still looking a lot better than I do.
I was thinking the same thing. Frank's not the only one getting gray now.
Yeah, I age in stages. I'm good. I look exactly the same, and then I get wham, hit with the old stick, and then I don't change for a long time, then I get hit again. You know, it's like my body really doesn't know what to do, so it goes along, doesn't do anything, and then all of a sudden just boom. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, you aged. Yep.
Yeah, we would joke when we'd fish tournaments, and the older guys with the gray beards, we figure they had more time on the water, and that's why we were getting beat like that, and finally we're getting there.
Yeah, and it's true. I mean, you've been doing this charter thing for a long time, and you're still going strong and busier than ever from what I hear. I never get to see you, so I know when I'm not seeing you, you're booked.
Yeah. Yep. I'm actually on the other end of town, and it's back and forth, boat ramp, home, and get rigged up for the next day.
Well, whenever you get a rainy day or you get a day off, you know, you're always in here and everything, but, you know, it's just one of those things that there's you, Dwayne, you know, there's a few guys that you just know. When you don't see them, they're just booked. Otherwise, you're in here hanging out and BSing and talking and everything. But now, today, you had a little girl got sick.
Yep, little boy on the
little
boat.
Little boy?
Yep, he was 11 years old. And going out, we were going to catch tarpon. I had I put my chair on, which is a little early, my fighting chair on the front of the boat, just so take the load off of him. I got a gimbal in that thing that helps the young guys out. You know?
Right. Makes it easier for them to pull.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you're out there in the pass, you're marking all these fish, and
I have to leave.
And Kale was talking about it today, too. And Carl never left the flats. He didn't even go way into the back. He stayed out in open flats. The harbor was just going crazy, and Kale was talking, you know, you're in one spot and the wind's blowing one direction, another spot the wind's blowing the other way, and it was way stronger than they said it was going
to
be.
You know, it was way stronger. The people I had today were from New Jersey. They didn't bring their jackets, and I had a jacket, so I was all right, but it made them very uncomfortable. I had to go get out of the wind and sit, and when I got out of the wind, the bite was on for me today.
So you were able to turn the lemons into lemonade today.
Lemonade.
So you have an 11-year-old boy. He gets sick. So you take off. You go find some calm, nice water to sit in and catch fish. And what happened?
I actually went and picked up some shrimp at Miller's Marina on the water right there, and went straight to a flat. In the first place I parked, I got some chum going, and we caught several redfish. Bonnethead shark, which was fun for him. It was.
Isn't it amazing when kids get to handle that shark for the first time? I mean, it's that primordial inner genetic memory. Like, this is crazy. I'm touching a shark.
Yep, he got to touch the shark. We brought it up for a minute. He brought it in. It was pretty fresh when he got it there, and I got the hook out of it and got it up for a picture, but it started to get a little antsy, so I let it go pretty quick. Pretty quick.
Yeah. I've had bonnets where I get them up and it's like, okay, take the hook out, I'm over this, you know, okay, I'll lay here, you get the hook out, and the next one's just snapping at you like, yes. You know, you look like a big sardine to him, and he needs a bite.
Kind of let him go because he was starting to win the battle. I had one hand on him on his tail and one up under his fins there, and he was starting to, I didn't want to get bit, so I put him in the water.
Here, go swim, fishy. Yep, it's all win. Good. But it was a weird day like that. Everything's acting crazy. I mean, the wind, the fish, everything was just a little different today.
We got out there. I was expecting 9-mile winds at top. It was at least 15 with 18-mile-an-hour gust. It was gray until afternoon today, but when the sun came out, the wind lay down. That's when the tarpon came in. Hopefully they'll be there tomorrow.
Now, you fish a little bit of the pass, you fish a little of the beaches, you fish Back Bay, you fish tarpon, kind of wherever tarpon are. Do you have a special rig for this year?
You know, I'm going to spend a lot more time on the beaches. I do have a new rig. It's made with a circle hook, and I'm also turning it back into the tail. So,
yeah, it's going to be a different year. I've seen about 3 or 4 different rigs from guys. One guy, and he doesn't come in here very much. He's good friends with, you know, some other places, and I don't hardly ever see him, but he came in and he said, I wanted to talk to you because I know you won't talk. And he showed me his rig. It's actually pretty cool. It's a lot of it's going to depend upon, once he ties the line to it, how it hangs, but it's actually really kind of a neat intervention, and I'm going to wait to see what happens with his stuff. But I've seen Dwayne's got some cool stuff. A lot of people, even last year, were already working up different rigs, from Carolina rigs to different hook placements and everything else. So it's going to be interesting this year to find out what happens.
I caught a couple on mine last year. I've changed it since then. I'm going to go ahead and use a circle hook just for ethical reasons, but
there's no better thing about circle and J hooks. I am not the one to tell, because I can't get circle hooks out of fish without hurting that fish. My J hooks, when I set the hook and everything, it's right there. I can pop that hook out. I'm all good. Circle hooks destroy jaws. They ruin cartilage. In my opinion, there's no benefit more from one than the other in the hands of an experienced angler. And a beginner or somebody who leaves the rod in a rod holder, circle hooks do help save on the gut hook. But I don't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm not big on the whole circle hook thing. I think they're obnoxious, and I think they hurt as much of the fish as they help in a lot of instances.
Well, this year I'm fishing the PTTS, and they have a circle hook rule, and they also...
Wuss. Yeah. What's his name again? What's the guy's name?
Joe.
Joe, you're a wuss. Cave buddy, huh? Much? I think the rest of what they're doing is fine, but I'm not a circle hook guy. I don't like the darn things. So anyway, Joe, you're a wuss. Okay,
it's one of those things where you just want to conform and do what's
he's a wuss.
Supposedly correct.
Yeah, he's a wuss.
Correct, but
I always do what I believe is right. I don't care what's politically correct. I don't care who likes it, who doesn't like it. As long as I know I'm doing the right thing, to me, it's all good. But Joe, you're a wuss. So anyway, you're going to fish the PTTS. I've been out there. I've fished it. I've taken pictures of it. I've been all around the whole thing. And I'm not much of a pass guy. I go out there once a year. It's kind of like NASCAR. If you love NASCAR, you're going to love fishing Boca Raton Pass.
It's a busy place. Definitely a busy place this time of year. And
I mean, it's got everything. It's got boats, it's got girls, it's got crazy people, it's got normal people, it's got everything you can think of, big boats, small boats. It's like NASCAR. I mean, you go there and the spectacle is great.
Yeah, and you know that on the weekends it's really rough like that, and then during the middle of the week you get 50-60 guides out there and we get out one another's way. And
what I liked last year and the year before, not so much this last year, but the year before and the year before that, last year there was all kinds of stupid stuff going on, but you know, I've seen so many times out there, and I talked to a lot of fishermen. I mean, you figure I probably talked to at least 50 to 150 fishermen every, I'd say 5 to 7 days a week.
Yes.
And that's probably more than almost anybody. And I hear all the stories from out there, and the actual guides, the old jig boat guides and the jig boat guides, I can't tell you how many times over that couple year period I heard people say, here, and the guide would put a jig and a couple of bodies on there, tie that on this way and use that. You can't do what you're doing here. You're not going to work. And actually handing them something and saying, okay, now look, this is what you're going to do, okay? And help them explain how to work it, because when your first day's in that pass, that is, you got
to
be.
Well, yeah, you need to sit back and kind of watch what's going on. There is an order to that chaos. It's
okay. Anything you tell me is fine.
Well, there's a little order.
Running a camera boat, and I'm sitting here all by myself filming these people catching a tarpon, right? And the cameraman's filming them. And I'm going along, and I'm starting to stop, and I got it right there, and I'm keeping backed out away from the fish. And all of a sudden, I'm surrounded.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's fish coming this way and fish coming that way and fish on the rods. There's fish jumping everywhere. And there's two boats hooked up, both at, I mean, I slammed reverse, spun it. I missed the boat 3 inches. I thought, good, man. My skills were there. I was able to back out at probably 10 miles an hour and not hit anybody. Mm-hmm. And I had a foot on each side of me.
That's it. That's
in an S pattern.
Yeah, do you think you got it clear, and then out of nowhere, a fish lands right smack dab in the middle of your boat.
That's the one thing I love watching, because then it's the, I know it's politically correct. And yes, my son, Frank, yes, I know your father is not politically correct, but get over it. Chinese fire drill. You know, I mean, all of a sudden, this 150-pound fish lands in the middle of the boat.
Fresh. You know, usually on its first jump, just hooked, it's fresh.
This thing came up 6-8 feet up into the air and lands in the boat, and it starts knocking stuff apart. It'll knock center consoles off. I mean, this is one upset fish.
Yes.
And he's 150, 200 pounds. I mean, picture what a full-grown man kicking and punching inside a boat would do.
Oh, yeah. No, it's it goes around and wreaks havoc. Bus center council's loose. Tackle boxes are flying. And
everybody
people,
jumps up on the gunnel.
They're up on the gunnel, up out of the way. And that thing just flopping circles around.
They jump up, grab the T-top, stand on the gunnel. If not, everybody's, the tarpon's in the back, everybody go to the front.
You know, when that does happen, once a week maybe, we're pretty good about it. There'll be five different guides on that boat helping you get that fish out of there and making sure your clients are all taken care of, safe, and they'll get that, help you get that fish out.
Yeah, but nobody goes close to it till it's had a chance to settle down.
Oh yeah, no, nobody.
Nobody gets close to that.
It's gonna break what it's gonna break, and it's gonna do what it's gonna do. And then, once you see it lay flat for a second, you can get on it quick.
Yeah, then everybody kind of jumps on. You know, knees on the fish, picks him up, and back in the water he goes. But, yeah, nobody messes with a green tarpon when he starts to thrash the bottom of the boat.
No.
Anyway, but you caught redfish today. You caught bonnet sharks, and able to pull it out. It seemed like today was a good day on the flats. Carl had a great day.
It did.
And
I was sitting on the back of Kapalu, actually, right there, a well-known spot where there was four other boats. Captain Jeff Totten was right down from me. He was catching some redfish also.
I haven't seen Jeff in a while. I'm, you know.
He's a good guy. He's been busy.
Well, most of you guys are busy. This is this time of year. If you're not busy now, you're not making it through August.
Exactly.
This is like being farmers. You have a time where you're going to make money, and then there's a time where you're not making money. And you got to be good with it. People always say, well, I want to be a fishing guide. I say, ooh, that's a tough life.
It can be. You know, I'll be honest with you. We had the holiday this weekend, wind blowing 30 knots on Friday. Today was the first day I was out in 3 days. And I was up at 4 o'clock this morning worried about where I was going to go, because what happened yesterday may not be there today. You can't count on anything with the way the water temperature's about 72 out there right now, from what I can tell.
Yeah, we're hearing everywhere from surface temps up in Upper Harbor in the mid-70s, 74 to 76. And as you get down closer to the Gulf, in the low 70s.
Yeah.
And we think that might be why there's no bait, outside of the fact we're killing it all. I mean, let's face it, the gas nets, we're just wiping it out as fast as it shows up. But forget that aspect of it, and it's still chilly. Who would have thought the water would... Because the air, it's beautiful here. Is not the weather as nice as you've ever seen it here?
It's beautiful. Hey, the water should be low 80s by now, or, you know, upper 70s for sure.
And I have no idea, but, I mean, it's still chilly.
You know, they're also having bait issues in Tarpon Springs. I was talking to Captain Brian Hart this afternoon, and when I told him that, you know, how hard I was getting bait today, he said that he said it's harder than it's ever been up there also right now.
I've looked it up, and greenbacks, they need 5 to 6 months, 4 to 6 months to become spawning size. They only live a year, year and a half. About a year and a half, I spoke wrong. A year and a half, 2 years is all their life expectancy is. So it's no problem taking them. But somehow or another, we've all got to get together and figure out how not to take them until they've spawned once. You know, that's, and the months are May, June, July, and August. Somehow or another, we're going to actually have to start pushing for no cast netting May, June, July, and August to ensure that we have a supply of bait for the rest of the year. You know,
those time of years, I usually fish with the thread fins for the bigger game fish, so I'm not even in the back country using that type of bait.
It's going to have to be a ban on smaller mesh cast nets for 5-6 months out of the year.
Quarter-inch nets are pretty tough on the...
Well, I knew 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we sold almost all... 15 years ago and prior, we sold mostly 3/8. And about 10 years ago, the trend switched, and it was mostly quarter. Quarter-inch mesh started outselling 3/8.
Because they weighted them a little better.
No, because the bait got smaller, and everybody was Christmas tree in the bait.
Yeah.
And they were chasing them smaller and smaller. We had never had to chase bait that small. 10 years ago is when I started selling more quarters. You know, you never know what you're going to talk about when you come on with me.
Oh, that's all good.
You know, I mean, I don't... And I'm not... I'm saying I'm as much as fault. I did as much damage as anybody did. This is not something that we need to blame on the other guy. We blame it on ourselves. But we do have to quit saying the bait moved. We killed it. This is what we did. We have to accept responsibility for our actions and start considering how are we going to fix what we've done. Because I was part of it. You've been part of it.
Sure.
We've all been
sure.
part of it. But now we're kind of like this climate change. We have to figure out, okay, what are we going to do to fix this? And I'm one of the reasons I've been talking about it is asking to see what you think. And the water temperature could strictly be the whole thing about this. And this whole thing I just said could be complete ridiculous nonsense.
I hope it is. But you never know. I'm not sure. I don't know why we don't have it here right now. So.
And it could be as simple as the water temperature.
Yeah,
it could be. You know, just the water's a little too chilly and the bait's not showing up because of that.
No, and we have the thread fin herrings right out there, right offshore. Fields of them out there. They're just not coming in.
Yeah,
they're lined up out. Yep.
They're in between where we can get them and where the purse seiners can get them.
Yes. Yep.
Because if they go 3 miles out, they're caught in the commercial boats and they're gone.
Right.
And if they come inside, the recreational fishermen get them. They couldn't be getting smart.
No, I don't think so. That's all we need, smart bait.
Okay, you've just entered the Twilight Zone.
they're getting faster, maybe. They're getting wiser to them nets coming down when the water's clear. It's definitely when we have a hard time with the thread fins.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just been different, been weird. But do you have any open days lately if somebody wants to get a trip?
I have a few mixed in and out. Month of May is pretty knocked up, but I have a few hill tide dates, which are the evening trips when the crabs are flowing on the full moon.
Yeah, that's awesome. Gonna be cool.
Yep.
And I haven't seen
one of those right in the last 2-3 years. As far as I've seen them good, but not. We used to have dream pods. I'd call them dream pods, where if those fish would be coming right at you, and if you land a crab anywhere near them, you were catching a fish. Now I've seen these hill tides where they're a little disappointing. So yeah. I'm hoping this
now
year.
Now we're speaking tarpon here for anybody who's
tarpon fishing for the crab.
Well, occasionally I get lost, I have to remind myself. But I don't know. I always try to make every year pilgrimage out there to fish an evening. It is one of the most spectacular, beautiful things to do. It calms down. There's not many boats out there, and you can't do anything but cast baits at them, and it's tough.
It's my personal favorite.
And I love it out there in the evening, and, you know, the drive back at night isn't exactly my favorite, but it's worth it.
Well, you get someone else to drive. We're getting older.
No, yeah. I left one night and my electronics had gone down. I said, no big deal. I know my, you know, I know this like the back of my hand. And I came around, cornered marker 5, started going up the harbor, and all of a sudden, I'm going and going and going. I'm like, what the heck's going on? And I didn't notice it, but a real heavy haze, not fog, but haze had set in, and all of a sudden I'm not seeing the lights, and all of a sudden I whip out my Q-beam and I shoot in front of me and I'm looking, green marker, what is that? I pull up marker 6. Yeah. I'd done a big oval.
Oh, yeah.
I turned all the way around, was heading back down the harbor.
Yep, that happens. That fog had turned you around. I've left from Elgin thinking I'm going straight across to those locks over there and run into somebody, and I'm in the middle of Tippy Canoe, so I did a big, like, 180, you know. They go, where you at?
That candy cane maneuver.
I run into another boat, and the guy's on his trolling motor. I go, do you know where we are? He's, I think we're on Hog Island. All right.
Yeah. No, it just happens. And that's why we try and tell people, don't rely totally on your electronics, because once they go out, you still have to know where you're at.
Yeah.
The only time you need to rely on them is in the Gulf. And if you have a compass with you, because head east, you'll hit land.
No doubt.
You got to go east. But anyway, so are you still doing much for Back Bay, or are you pretty much locked in on the tarpon?
Well, I've been doing Back Bay up until now. And, I'll be strictly tarpon for the next 3 months.
So you're bringing out your big boat again? And
bringing out the big boat. I've been running that, actually. I've been, like today, I was going to do tarpon if they were there and available. We didn't plan on what happened, but so that's.
But hey, that's the mark of a good captain, is when, you know, you get out there and unforeseen things happen. You spin around, you make a good day of it.
You try to, you know. Bottom line, make sure your people are having fun, and I usually have a good group that I'm taking out and.
Well, you got a lot of regulars. You've been doing this a long time, and most of your business is repeat business.
It is. Yes,
so it's nice because you kind of got what I enjoyed about all my repeat customers, we knew each other, you know. And
yes, that's exactly.
They come on, and they're giving you a hard time, and, you know, it's just more fun.
Yep, bringing you different stuff from home, different football shirt, all kinds of different things. So
I've been very lucky. This year, people were bringing me from the Midwest and stuff because that's where I grew up. I got summer sausage. I've got some beef jerky. We've had a lot of locals bringing us in smoked fish. And got a care package of old style and some perch fillets the Great Lakes. So I've been doing good on care packages this
year. That's pretty cool, yes.
Yeah, I've been doing real good. It's been a lot of fun and some great eating, you know, and experiencing. A guy brought in little jars of salmon that him and his buddies canned up there and brought it down for us. So it's been a good year.
Yep, that's pretty cool. You get a little different culture there.
So I know you got to go. Your daughter's waiting, and you like the new Fish and Frank's rods?
Yes, I do. She's been testing it out for Fish and Frank, dropping it, kicking it, and catching fish with it. So, and it's held up. So,
your daughter has the pink one, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
she does.
We kind of use that one as a test model. We had a bunch of them out. We sold a lot of them. And so far, we've only gotten one back broken, and that was literally a little girl slammed it in the seat lid and sat on it. Slam set.
So, yeah, they've been holding up pretty good, and I've just picked up a couple more to try. So.
Well, we got all the new colors in, and you went with the gray camo.
Yep, with the gray camo and the green one.
You got a gray camo and a green, and you're going to let me know how this goes and what's going to happen.
Yes, I will.
So, anyway... let me see. Now we're going to do this professionally, Jim. I'm going to play a little music and we're going to pretend like we're on a real radio show and we're going to fade to black.
Okay.
What that means is, Jimmy, tell your name of your charter business.
The name of my charter business is Beach and Backcountry Charters.
MrTarpon.com?
Oh, yeah, MrTarpon.com is my website.
I'm trying to feed you, buddy, here. I'm trying to feed you.
I'm working on it there, but MrTarpon.com.
Which phone number they can reach
it's,
you?
It's area code 941-628-4823.
Okay, well, this is Fish and Frank, as you may have guessed, and yes, I know there could be somebody better here, but you're stuck with me, boys and girls, and we will see you on the next Radio Fishing. Thanks for listening.